beginning not a new study today, but we're going to shift gears in our study of desiring God today. We're going to focus beginning today on a series of the book of Joshua. We're going to desire God through the work of God. That is our goal. You know, when we serve the Lord, it's not just a job. It should be more than something I've got to do. It should be that I get the opportunity. I'm excited. I was excited when I woke up this morning and it was Sunday. I wish you were. I was excited when I came to church today. I was excited to see every one of you. I was excited as we sat here through the worship service. I'm excited now because I get to preach. Listen, I don't have to preach. I get to preach, and it's a joy. The work, and that's what I want you to understand as we go through this study. It's not a drudgery to serve the Lord. It is a glorious opportunity and blessing to serve the Lord. Today we're looking at the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? We're going to desire God's work, and we're going to see the beginning of the children of Israel as they prepare to go into the promised land. Verse 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and from this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, again as we bow today, we ask for your guidance as we study your word. Father, speak to us through your word. Give us understanding and insight that we have never had before. Grow us, Lord, through this study, that we'll have a desire to do your work, a passion for your work, Lord, and that we will be found faithfully serving you no matter the conditions or circumstances. Lord, we love you, and we pray that your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of this text today, we look and we read very tragic news. The tragic news is found there in verse 2. God said, "Moses, my servant, is what? Moses is dead." Now imagine, think of that news as it's given to the children of Israel. This is the guy who has led them 40 plus years. He was there and he appeared before Pharaoh and declared at the direction of God, "Let my people go." He was there when God poured out the plagues upon Egypt. He was there when they were standing on the banks of the Red Sea and he lifted up his staff and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." He was there when they were thirsty and God brought water from a rock. He was there when they were hungry and God caused it to rain manna from the sky each morning and they'd go out and pick it up. He was there for every major event. He was even there when God gave the law to Israel. I mean, Moses got it, received that law one-on-one with God. You know what I think? After considering the great man and the tremendous ministry that Moses was and the ministry that he had, they just might as well quit because there will not be another Moses. Right? You know what? That's often the way we think. As, you know, but let's go back in history just a minute. I mean, Israel's history started with Abraham. You know what happened to Abraham? He lived, he served God, and he died. Then we went to Isaac, Abraham's son, and you know what happened to Isaac? He lived and he died, and he served God. Then Isaac had Jacob, right? You know what happened to Jacob? He lived, had 12 sons, and he died. You know what happened to the 12 sons? They lived and they died. But you know what's really amazing? The amazing part is that through the course of all that, God's plan has continued to fall in place with every generation. And the reason is God's work and God's ministry has never depended upon the efforts, the talents and ability of any one man. It depends upon God. Isn't that good news? And the wonderful news about this is Joshua was ready. Moses is dead, but Joshua was ready. You see, Joshua has been Moses' assistant for 40 plus years. Joshua was the leader in training. He's seen everything basically that Moses did. He was there and he watched as Moses communed with God. He watched as Moses talked with God. He watched as Moses dealt with that stubborn, hard-nosed group of people they called Israelites. You know, dealing with people is always fun, right? But it says he was not just Moses' assistant. Okay, it says he was Moses' assistant, but that wasn't just the idea that he was there to help Moses. He was there to learn how to do it for when Moses was gone. Right? That was the point. And as he watched this and as he learned from Moses, now he's at that time where he's ready to go. He's ready to take over. You know, one thing we all have in common, we all die. Throughout the generations, short of the Lord coming back, I'm going to foretell the future. Everyone in here is going to die. If the Lord comes back and we're transformed, glory to God, we won't have to deal with it anymore. But short of that, we're going to die. And it's vital that everyone have a person ready to take your place, a person ready to fill your shoes when the time comes. You see, that's what being a parent's about, isn't it? Think about it. You're not just raising kids, you're raising the next generation. You're raising the next Joshua because one of these days you're going to die. And then it's going to be their job to raise the next Joshua. And let me tell you, whether we're dealing in family or whether we're dealing in a church, if you fulfill your ministry, if you do your ministry right, that ministry will continue long after you're gone. You know what I hate to see? I hate to see pastors leave a church and the church suffer. You know, listen, you didn't do something right. You didn't do something right. Because we should have had everything in place so that if God did call you somewhere else, the church could pick up and keep going. And teachers are the same. Well, we have some good Sunday school teachers. Let me hear amen. Very gifted, very good Sunday school teacher. But I want to tell you something. You sit up there with them every Sunday. I want you to stop and think. They're not going to be there forever. You know what happens to Sunday school teachers? Sometimes they get tired and need a break. Sometimes God just calls them home like He does pastors. But a change is coming. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself is, who's going to step in there and be the next Joshua to lead that class? Leaders, church leaders, victory leaders. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. We are all responsible to train our replacements. Right? Because after all, none of us want to be here forever, right? Now, I want to live in eternity with Jesus forever. But none of us are going to be here forever. Therefore, you have the responsibility. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. You know why Timothy was so special to Paul? Timothy was one of those guys that Paul trained up and said, "Hey, you're going to have this. I'm leaving. You're going to keep it going." But look at the instruction he gave Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You got it? This is Bible. This isn't something Brother Doug has just come up with. This is Bible. This is our responsibility, that we're to commit our ministries, the things that we know, into the hands of faithful men and women so they can carry it on after we're gone. Please don't get me wrong. He said, "Brother Doug, he's preaching this. People won't be here forever. Is he going?" No, not to my knowledge. Right? I'm just telling us, we all have this responsibility right now to bring up the next generation of servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is by passing along what we know and training our replacements. See, that's what the Great Commission was about. When we were told to go, therefore, in the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's the idea. Train your replacements. One of the problems we have in doing that is we look and say, "Well, they just can't do it like I can." Have you ever done that? "Well, if I don't do it, you know, they're just not as good as I am." So what? You haven't always been good at what you do. You had to learn. You had to sit under somebody that had the patience to teach you. And through the years, you've become seasoned and you've become better and more knowledgeable because you've served through the years. But listen, you train your replacements, and do not say that I'm the only one who can, because you are not the only one who can. Right? "Well, Brother Doug, and this is the other one I've heard, they won't do it. They won't do it. But Brother Doug, I've asked them to teach. I've asked them to do this. And I've asked them, and they won't do it." I say this in a loving heart, with a little bit of meanness mixed in. Don't waste your time with people who are not willing to serve. If you hear no, 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 you look for somebody else. You're casting your pearls before the swine. That's kind of hard-nosed, isn't it? Listen, there are people out there who are willing to be trained and need to be trained. And they are the folks you focus on. Leaders, we have a responsibility. Church members, let's move on. Church members, you're in training. You understand all this church thing. It's not about just going to church and having a good time and enjoying what's going on, right? You are in training. You're the next guy. You're not here to just go to church. You're here to prepare for tomorrow. Somebody's going to have to replace that teacher that you enjoy each week. Somebody's going to have to replace that music director that we sing under each week. Somebody's going to have to replace this pastor. Who's it going to be? Let me hear you say, "Amen." Let me hear you say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That's your requirement. That's what it is to be a child of God. Now, Lord, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to fill in the gap. We've got to have two things. Number one, we've got to have leaders willing to take the time to train people. Number two, we've got to have students who are willing to be trained. We need both those things. Third thing. We often make excuses as to why we don't and why we're not willing. But in verse 5, we learn Moses is gone, but God is still God. I want to read verse 5 with you again, back in our text. As he's calling Joshua, he said, Joshua, you're going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and here's what's going to happen. When you get there and you start to take the promised land, no man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You know what? Put that in plain English. Nobody can beat you, Joshua. Nobody can stand against you. But as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. You know, as I read this and I see God make the announcements. Moses is dead. Joshua, you're the man. Now, here's what you can expect out of me, and here's what I'm going to expect out of you kind of mentality. You know what God never leaves room for? God never leaves room for I can't. I strongly, as a pastor and an individual, I despise the phrase I can't or we can't. Okay? So, let's just make an agreement. Don't use that around me. Okay? And the reason I say that is because I know you can't. I can't. But I also know the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not the power. Jesus is the power. You know? It's not about you. I hear people say all the time, well, I just can't talk in front of people. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus can do. It's not your ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. That's why what God is trying to get across to Joshua here, and I think he's getting it across quite well. Joshua, man, you're going in my power. It's about me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way. Nobody can stand against you. But Joshua, here's what I need you to do in verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Now, one thing that you need to notice is that in the Word of God, when God repeats Himself, it's pretty important. Right? And between verse 6 and 9, He repeats Himself 3 times. Verse 6, He says, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide an inheritance. Verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous that you observe and do all according to the law. Then in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. 3 times. He's saying, if you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to tell you again. And finally, he emphasizes, he says, hadn't I already told you? So, lesson number one, if God repeats Himself, it's okay if preachers repeat themselves every once in a while, right? This is so very vitally important. You've got to take this part home with you. If you're going to serve the Lord, whether you're a leader, whether you're a follower, whether you're a person in training, if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to be strong. It's talking about an inner determination. It's talking about a strength that can only come from God. I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to keep serving. I don't care if I get discouraged. God hasn't changed. He's still the power. He's still my motivation. And I'm going to serve no matter what. That's what he's talking about, being strong. And of good courage. You know the idea behind that word courage? It's being willing to do things other people won't do. I'm going to say that again. Courage is being willing to do things that other people will not do. You know, one of my heroes, Sergeant York. I've shared that with you before. How that World War II, he took a machine, he took on a machine gun nest of German troops single-handedly. Took 100 plus prisoners, I don't remember the exact number by now. And he did it himself. And his response was, when they asked him how you did that, he said, somebody had to do something, and I saw those machine guns killing people, and so I said, somebody's got to do something. Listen, I want to tell you something. Satan's still the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's carrying people to hell every day. Somebody got to do something. Right? That's our job. That's our job. And to do our job, we've got to be strong and to be courageous. I'm scared. That don't cut it. Right? I'm afraid. That don't do it. You've got to be strong to serve the Lord. Do things that others aren't willing to do. How do you do that? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It's the same thing that we've been... This is the New Testament version of what God has been talking to Joshua about. Verse 10, Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Number one, your strength comes from God, not from you. So you're trusting God, not yourself. Right? You got that, right? Point number one, put on the whole armor of God. Because we wrestle, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, your fight is not with people. You got to understand, somebody upsets you, your fight's not with humans. Your fight's with the devil. And he doesn't fight fair. And he'll do everything he can do to discourage you and sidetrack you. Okay, so here we take on the whole armor of God. He talks about having the waist girded with the truth and the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But I want you to look at verse 16 here with me. I want to focus on just a minute because this is perhaps the most important part of the spiritual armor that we've got to have if we're going to serve God. Verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." The shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why is that so important? You know what a shield is, right? See, with a shield you can quench the fiery darts of the devil. You can get behind it, it'll protect you. You know why people quit? You know why people stop serving the Lord? Because they get discouraged, they get tired, and they think, "I'm not doing any good." And Satan keeps beating them down and beating them down and beating them down more and more and more until they finally just give up. But you know what it is that makes them give up? It's a faith failure. I'll say it again. It's a faith failure. Don't be surprised when you're under attack, right? That's why it's called the shield of faith. You get behind that shield, and as Satan throws the darts of doubt to you, just stand behind it. "Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but Lord, I trust you." Because see, there's sometimes you don't understand what's going on in your life. You can't figure out, why is this happening to me? Lord, I'm suffering. People are discriminating against me. And everybody's against me. Lord, I don't understand why. You don't have to understand. Just get behind the shield of faith and know that God is in control and He's working all things together for the good of those who love the Lord. That's faith. "Well, I'm not happy." Well, get behind the shield of faith. Yeah? Don't worry about... I've heard a lot in church people say, "Well, I'm not happy. I'm not happy." That's not a requirement, I'll be quite honest with you. It's a requirement that you be faithful to the Lord. And when times of discouragement comes, time of opposition comes, you get behind that shield of faith and you stand your ground with a determination that even Satan himself cannot move. Because God is still God. He's still working. He still has the power to change things. The question is, are you willing to trust Him? Lord, I don't understand, but I trust You. See, that's the shield of faith. Then finally, we'll talk about the secret to success in the work of the Lord. How many of you want to be successful? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, I'm going to tell you how. You ready? If you're ready, say amen. Y'all been sitting there too long today not participating. If you're ready, say amen. I'm going to tell you a surefire way to be successful in the Lord. Number one, verse 7, you've got to observe to do all that the Lord says to do. Right? Let me go back to verse 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Very simple. Do what God says do. Okay? If He says don't do it, don't do it. If He says do it, do it. But whatever God says, follow God faithfully. Why? Why did He tell Joshua this? Because number one, Israel needed Joshua to lead by example. You know what I'm going to say next, right? Victory Baptist Church needs the leaders of this church to lead by example. Right? If you're a deacon, deacon by example. If I'm the pastor, I want to pastor, but I want to set the example. If you're a Sunday school teacher, teach by example. Let me throw this out here. By example, I'm talking about your participation, your faithfulness in church. Right? Come to church. I know we're on spring break. I never cast stones at people who go out of town, take vacations and stuff every once in a while because I like to do it myself. And that's good. But it does bother me when church leaders are not faithful enough to set the example themselves. Because you are teaching others by the example that you set, more so than you are by what you say. Okay? And we need people in this church to lead by example. Now, that's not to say that any of us are perfect. Stick around me very long, you'll find really quick that I have my shortfalls. Right? As we all do. And when you see that shortfall, please don't say, oh, I knew. No, that's not what it's about. But I'll tell you, I don't come to church because I'm supposed to. I don't even come to church because I'm supposed to preach. I come to church because I want to worship the Lord. I want to enjoy God's people. I want to serve the Lord. It brings joy. It brings joy to me. And hopefully I'm leading by example. Then finally, second secret to success. Number one, set the example. Number two, meditate on it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, or meditate in it, day and night. We've already been down this road for quite a while now, since the first of the year. Our Desiring God series, we started with our attitude of desiring God, seek those things that are above. And then we moved to prayer, desiring God through prayer, pray without ceasing. And then we moved to desiring God through the Word. Your Word is a light to my path, a lamp to my path, a light in my feet, right? And this is along that same line. I'm going to tell you what you've got to do. If you're going to work for the Lord, if you're going to train others, here's what you've got to do. You've got to hold on to what we've already talked about. Got to be able to carry it into the future. Because see, here's the danger about working and serving the Lord. It is so very easy to get to working so much and get so focused on working that you forget the basics. I'm going to say that again. It's easy to get to working for the Lord so much that you forget the basics, and the basics being the relationship with the Lord. Right? It's sad, but what happens oftentimes is we get so busy serving, we forget to pray. You ever been there? You know, pastors can relate to that. It's bad to say, but we get so busy serving that we forget time in the Word. And what will immediately follow is this. We will work like that for a while, but after a while, we just get all we can take, and we'll burn up, burn out, and we'll quit. I'm talking about quit. You know, all of us get tired on occasion, and we take breaks. I get that. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I'm not doing this anymore. Happens to preachers. I forgot the number, but it's crazy. The number of pastors every year that just leave the ministry. You want to know why? Somewhere along the way, they lose the basics. They forget that it's important. Most important thing of their ministry is not going to the hospital. It's not what they do. The most important thing of their ministry, it starts with desiring God, prayer, relationship, and the Word. You know, if you let those go, you will never be a good servant because you can't maintain your spiritual health. That's what he's telling Joshua to do. You've got to maintain that spiritual health, Joshua. But Joshua, you do those things. You be faithful to me. And I like verse 9. I want to read that again in closing. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love that part. But see, we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But having the assurance that whatever happens tomorrow, God is with me, gives me great comfort. No matter what happens next week, God is with me. That's so very comforting. Because have you ever felt alone? You ever felt like you're fighting battles alone? If you've been parenting, you know, and your kids are all mad at you because you wouldn't let them do what they want to do, and your wife looks at you and says, "Well, you're wrong. I won't tell the kids, but you're wrong." Maybe that's a bad example, I don't know, but I want to tell you, you're not alone. You're not alone. Have your friends forsaken you? You're not alone. Are you facing the most challenging times you have ever faced as a believer? God is with you wherever you go. You got to hold on to that. Because I promise you, Satan's at your heels. God's trying to protect and provide. Satan's trying to destroy. God wins. You remember that. Every time, God wins in the end. And He will work it out in the end. Trust Him. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're fighting the battles alone. Let me tell you this, Jesus Christ died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. He died because you are a sinner. You can't deny that. We all are in the same boat. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the glorious gospel says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, that's me, that's every unworthy sinner that's ever walked this earth. If we call upon Jesus Christ, knowing that He paid our sin debt upon the cross of Calvary, He suffered, He died to take our punishment so that we could have His righteousness. And today He will give you His righteousness if you will simply ask. Because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? If not, will you come this morning as we have an invitation? We're going to do as we've been doing. We're going to have an invitation. And then we're going to close with a song. But the church staff will be up here on the front. Brother Ken and myself and Brother Greg's going to be up front. If you have a spiritual need, if you need someone to pray with you, you come grab us and you say, will you pray with me? If you need to come for church membership, you come and you grab one of us and you say, I need to become a member of this church, or I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever your spiritual need is, here's my plea. Listen to God and do what God leads you to do. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. It is truly, Lord, a privilege and a joy to serve You. Lord, as we prepare to go into the days ahead and in our study of the book of Joshua, give us that willing spirit, that dedicated spirit, that drive and desire, Lord, that we're not willing to give up or to give in to anything. Help us to be strong in You, Lord, and I pray Your will be done. Now as we come to this invitation, we commend this invitation into Your hands. I pray that You'd convict of sin. I pray that You'll draw all men to You. I pray Your will be done. Heavenly Father, we give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.